Now, the second thing I want to give you, I just have to find it. Hopefully it's on my desk here, are four pages from Rav Aaron Kahn. It seems that Rav Aaron Kahn took upon himself to give us almost a blow-by-blow analysis of this Ramban that we're going to see. And the pages that I was able to photocopy for you are pages 14, 15, 16, and 17. So I have four pages for you. So let me give them out in a certain sequence so that you won't get confused. And let me just double check to make sure that I'm not making any mistakes here. And I didn't mess up here. Just one second. Number. Just want to make sure that I have this down right. Yes, we have it down right. So I'm going to need your help. And when you get this page, then make sure to write the number 15 on the other side of the page, because that didn't come out in the photocopy. Okay, can you take a minute to do that?
No. Okay.
So otherwise you'll get mixed up which is the first page or which is the second page. Okay then? So write down the number 15 on the back. Okay?
You have those copies given out?
Now these are pages 16 and 17. 15 and 16.
Thank you. Look at that.
Right? What did I just say? 14 and 15, right? Is that what I told you?
14 and 15.
Okay?
Copies. I just want to make a picture.
Make a picture.
Take a picture. Make a picture.
Now this is number... What do you have? You have 14 and 15, right?
14 and 15.
So this is going to be 16... and 17. I'll just make sure that that's true. But you're going to have to write the number 17 down here too. Okay, so this is 16. The number came out. Flip it over and write 17.
Okay.
All right. So if you can circulate those pages, and you'll have those pages. Am I correct to say that the first page you have is number 15?
14.
Oh, yeah, 14. That's even better.
14, 15, 17.
I'm really excited about that.
Oh, you can get many.
It's number 14.
Okay. 16 and 17.
What is his name?
Rav Aaron Kahn. Okay, he's a Rashiv at YU. He's also a Rav of a pretty significant Olam in Flatbush.
We would like you to reverse that order if you don't mind.
Whichever way you want to say it.
He wants to.
I understand. I understood exactly what you said.
Okay.
And you're touching on a very sensitive issue.
I knew him before he reversed it.
Okay.
No, I'm speaking for
you. When I try to tell people where to find Rabbi Kahn's shul, you see, I date myself. It's across the street from Yeshiva Flatbush. Today, they would say on the contrary, the Yeshiva Flatbush is across the street from Rabbi Kahn's shul. But I remember Yeshiva Flatbush in its heyday. My father was a typical Litvak. He sent the boys to real yeshivas and the girls went to Yeshiva Flatbush. That was the Lithuanian approach, for those who know the old Litvaks. You know, like in Lit itself, the women went to college and the men went to yeshiva. Hence, there were no shidduchim going on, because the women thought that the men were totally bores because they didn't go to college. So it was very hard. I don't know if you know this, but Rav Aaron Cutler's daughter had a PhD. She was actually a candidate for the Senate of New York State. I mean, she didn't even get 10,000 votes. It was a joke. But this is Rav Aaron Cutler's daughter. You know, she went to college and she had a PhD. But that's the way it was. You know, my Rebbe's mother was Pesha Feinstein. She was an absolute expert in Russian literature and mathematics. The women got the secular occasion. Yeah. And then the Chofetz Chaim, together with Shana Star, they tried to change the whole thing. And they tried to give women a Torah education. That was a revolution in Litva. The whole Beis Yaakov system. You know, people don't realize it wasn't always that way. The women knew nothing more than Senator Anna. But test them in Russian literature, and they did excellent. So that was the Lithuanian approach. And my father came from Litva, so it was sort of like appropriate. But anyway, that's what I wanted to mention to you. Now, in the bottom of page 14, beginning with a paragraph that you might find that's in brackets or in parentheses called Aval, and it's a little bit crowded on the page because I wrote my own notes on the side. Yeah, this is very, very fascinating. And I wanted to spend a few minutes of your time with this section, because even though it's written in parentheses, I really think that it opens up vistas in terms of our whole discussion about Bal Yerov Bal Yematzeh and about the mitzvah of Tashbisu. And it goes like this. In Masechta Tmura, in the Mishnah addressing what's called Macholas Asuros and Isurei Achila Isurei Hanoah, the Mishnah itself has a concept called Hanisrafim. And those are Isurim where the Torah says, it's Osir Banah, I want you to burn it. For example, Nosar. Right? Nosar is going to be a paradigm of the Mishnah in Tmura, and the Torah says, Ba'esh Hanosar Menu, Ba'esh Tisrofu. Now, when we get to our mitzvah of Tashbisu with regard to Chametz, then we really have to look at Chametz from a double perspective. What do I mean? On the one hand, Chametz is no different than Nosar, if you want to use Nosar as a paradigm of Isur Adno. Chametz is also Asur Adno. And therefore, B'toras Isur Adno, you would have to burn Chametz. On top of that, the Torah says Tashbisu. Now again, I'm not going into the issue of Utsamachlokas Tanoi, whether you have to burn the chametz or it's enough that you throw it into the Yamamelach or whatever you want to do with it, but let's just talk about destroying the chametz. I have to destroy the chametz under two different categories. First of all, under the universal category in the Mishnah Tmura of Hanisrafim, and even something which doesn't require Sreifa also requires destruction in a different form, called it Nikbarim. And then I have to analyze Chametz under a different category, namely the category of Tashbisu, which is a separate, unique mitzvah to destroy the Chametz as Chametz.
This roughing is time-bound?
I don't remember all the details. I assume it's an urgent mitzvah which you can delay, but as soon as you have the opportunity, first opportunity, you should burn it. So he says the following. I'm just going to read to you a few lines. Tashbisu, meaning the destruction of chametz, novea, okay, novea is a modern Hebrew word, you'll never see that in the classic literature, but it emanates from two different, he calls it makoros, I would call it machayvim, two different chiyuvim that overlap. Number one, isuri hana tu'unim biur, which means that you need physical destruction of isuri hana. On the other hand, there's something called the Shem Chametz, which means it has an entity and a status as Chametz, as a unique Isur. Mm-hmm. And there, we require Bir Chametz under the law of Tashbisu. And he says the following. We have a Machlokas Tanoim between Rav Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim as to whether Chametz is Osir Bahana. Rav Yossi Aglili is on the opinion that Chametz is Mutar Bahana. That's the beginning of the second parak. We didn't get to that yet. But yet, even Rav Yossi Aglili is going to tell you that there's a mitzvah of Tashbisu because the Torah says explicitly get rid of your Chametz, even though it's Mutar Bahana. That would not come under the universal halacha of Isuri Hana that require biur, but it's generated by the Shem Chametz as a unique Isur, so that even though it's not technically included under Isuri Hana which require biur because it's Mutar Bahana according to Rabbi Yossi, nevertheless, you have to get rid of it under the unique halacha of Tashbisu.
The word Shem is significant?
I think so. I'll tell you why. Because Shem means a dimension of a legal or halachic dimension of the object, meaning this object comes under two different shemos. The word shame means a legal status. So what is the legal status of chametz? Now, you're looking at chametz, and you don't see two different things going on in that chametz, but what Rav Soloveitchik is pointing out here, and I think it's an eye-opener, is that, you know, don't be fooled by the naked eye, because what you're really seeing in front of you in chametz is an overlap of two different shemos equals, meaning two different legal status, sai, if there's such a word. It's the status of chametz as isuri hanah, and according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, chametz is not in fact isuri hanah. And then there's another halacha that requires tashbisu b'toras chametz, as chametz per se, because it's usur as chametz. Now, to give you a tangible difference between destroying the chametz as chametz and destroying the chametz as isuri hanah, we're going to quote the shita of Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Rabbi Yossi HaGlili would say, in fact, there is no din of bir chametz b'toras isuri hanah, because chametz, in fact, is mutar b'hanah. Yet Rabbi Yossi HaGlili cannot scratch out a pasuk in the Torah that says tashbisu and omit the chiyuv of bir. It's going to have to be beer under the law of chametz. In the case of the chachamim, we can expand the law of beer. It's not only beer of Torah Shem chametz, but it's also the beer of isuri hanah, because the chachamim reject Rav Yossi HaGlili, and chametz is in fact osur hanah. I can't feed it to my dog. I can't sell it to a guy. I can't do anything with it. Now, here's where Rav Soloveitchik, having established this frame of reference, comes up with an amazing chiddush. You remember that the Rambam, there were two Girsos in the Rambam, but according to the what's called the Nusach Romi, which is the Nusach as the Kesef Mishnah has it, the Rambam makes the following distinction. He says the following. On Chometz Yadualo, Chometz that he knows about, the Rambam says he destroys that Chometz. On Chometz that he doesn't know about, he's Mevatel that Chometz. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to say the following. We could have a whole new perspective on the Rambam. Where is Bittul? Bittul comes under this new halacha of Shem Chavetz. What do I mean? As far as Isuri Hanah is concerned, the Torah requires you to destroy those beer Isuri Hanah. That only applies to something that you know about. And if you know about the Chavetz, you're going to have to destroy it. Why do you destroy it? You have to destroy it because Chavetz is Isuri Hanah. It's no different than Nosar. And to the same extent, you have to destroy Nosar in the Mishnah in Tmur, you have to destroy Chometz, because we hold like the Chachamim, it's Isuri Hanah. And hence the Rambam says, in Chometz Yadua, you have no option other than destroying the Chometz physically.
Why is that?
Why? Because, no, leave out Rav Yossi HaGlili. Okay. We'll get to Rav Yossi HaGlili. I was just using Rav Yossi HaGlili to demonstrate that there's a new halach of destroying Chometz under the mitzvah of Tashbisu B'Torah's Chometz. But if I accept the sheet of the Chachamim, which we paskin that Chometz is Isuri Hanah, I have another reason now why I have to destroy the Chometz. And that's what the Rambam tells you, that in Chometz Yadualo, you must destroy the Chometz. Where's Bittul come into the picture? Bittul is not going to be meaningful for any other Isur other than Chometz. The Torah will never say, with regard to any Isur like Nosar, be Mevatel the Nosar, and you thereby fulfilled your Chiyuv Bir. Only in one case, which the Rambam derives from the use of the language Tashbisu, as opposed to Tavaru, the Rambam says, from this, hence we derive Bittul. Again, we don't know what Bittul is. That's what we want to get into later. But nevertheless, Bittul is generated by the Parsha of Chometz. Says the Rambam, here the Torah requires you to go beyond the normal beer. The normal beer, which applies to any other Isuri Hanah, would only go for Yadua. I have no sir in front of me, I'm going to destroy it. Now the Torah says that with regard to Chometz, and this is where the Shem Chometz comes into play, There's another option for beer, and that's going to apply to Chometz She'ena Yadualo. Again, as far as Chometz Yadualo, I have no choice. Because we pass him like the Chachom that's also Hanah, I've got to destroy it, because Chometz is no different than all Isuri Hanah. But then when I get to Chometz She'ena Yadualo, here's where the Torah plugs in a unique method of Biur that's only limited to Chometz. Why? Because Chometz as a Shem Isur, Bifnei Atzmo, emerges as a unique entity which lends itself to a new form of beer. What's that new form of beer? Bittul. Now, theoretically, the Rambam could have applied that new form of bittul of beer, namely bittul, to even Chometz Yadualo. Here's the piece of Chometz, and I'm going to be mevatel it. Kefker, kaf, the avar, whatever the nusach of the bittul is. But I have a problem. If it's Chometz Yadualo, I can't implement bittul because of what? Yisuri Anah. So if it's Yisuri Anah, I need to be Mavarit. Says the Rambam, now when we get to Chometz, what do you have to do? So Rambam, in this Nusuf, says the following. If it's Chometz, you do a lo, you got to physically destroy it. If it's Chometz, you ain't a you do a lo, here's where you can avail, yourself of this opportunity of Bittul. Why? Because Bittul is Hafkas Shem Chometz. We're going to try to understand what that means. It's not just words. It's much more meaningful. He says the following. He says, Vihine. Bittul, you see a paragraph that starts Vihine.
Yeah. There's a little arrow there.
Yeah, that's my arrow. I tried to put an arrow there because I wanted it to catch my eye and also maybe your eye. He says, Vihine. Bittul moil al hatashbisu b'toras shem chametz. With regard to other Yisrael, I know the Torah doesn't recognize Bittul. The only method that the Torah recognizes is to destroy the Yisrei Anah. But if you look at Chametz as a subcategory of Yisrei Anah, you need Biur Mamish, because you don't find Bittul anywhere except for Tashbisu and Chametz. So Chovas Biur al Chametz Yodua, insofar as Chametz Yodua lo comes under the universal category of what? Yisuri Anah, he's going to now have to physically destroy it, because with regard to Yisuri Anah, the Torah requires Biur Mamish. I think the word Mamish has nothing to do with Lubavitch. But here the word Mamish means material, physical. Avolo Shayachovas Biur, the Yisuri Anah al Chomet She'eni Yadua. No, there's Chomet She'eni Yadua. If the Torah is telling me I have to destroy it, it can't be Midin Yisuri Anah, because we don't find in Yisuri Anah any obligation to destroy Chometz, or I should say Yisuri Anah Sheini Yaduah. Right? If a person has no knowledge of the existence of Nosar, he doesn't have to stand on his head and try to find Nosar in order to destroy it. So the Eini Yaduah completely exonerates or limits, sets up, if you will, the bounds of the mitzvah of Biur with regard to Yisuri Anah. And yet, with regard to Chometz, the Torah says you have to destroy even Chometz Sheini Yadu'alo. So now, how do I destroy Chometz Sheini Yadu'alo? If the Torah is, there's something paradoxical here. The Torah can't say from one side of its mouth, destroy Chometz Sheini Yadu'alo, and from the other side of its mouth, require physical destruction. So the Torah says, Yisuri Anah, the Torah never required me to destroy Yisuri Anah Sheini Yadu'alo. But rather, I have to do it b'toras Chometz. Oh, now the Torah comes along and is mechadish that tashbisu means bittul. And what does that mean? Tashbisu means bittul? It means that bittul operates to be mafkia shem chametz. I haven't physically destroyed the chametz, but I stripped the chametz of its status as chametz. Oh. Now, wait, just give me one more minute so I get the punchline. Now we can perhaps defend the Rambam against the Rabban's onslaught. Let's go over. I know, Alan, were you here? I don't know if you were here. Because I think it was 2 days ago that we did this. I don't remember. Anyway, everything is one mishmash. The Rabban says the following. The Gemara tells us on Daf Hey that if a Talmud is sitting in front of his Rebbe and he can't leave, and he reminds himself that he has an Issa Megugelis B'Tokbei, so it's becoming Chametz, what should he do? So the Gemara says, Mevatlo V'libo V'dayim. He can be vatal as chametz. Now he knows about the chametz. The Rambam says that if you know about your chametz, you have to destroy the chametz. So what good is it, according to the Rambam, to be mevatal belibo? Says Rav Soloveitchik, now we have an answer to this. Why? Because the purpose of mevatal belibo is going to be to remove bal yira bal yimotzei. Enochinami, but Torah says Chometz Yadu'alo. Chometz Yadu'alo is no different than all Yisuri Anah, and you'd have to get up and destroy it. But he can't do so. He's got mitigating circumstances. He's a Talmud Yoshev Zeirab. So what does he do? He can achieve one thing. He will not achieve the mitzvah of Biur Yisuri Anah, because that requires physical destruction, but at least he can rely on Bittul as a protection of Bayiro Bayimotze. Comes out that Bittul comes under two different categories. There are Tzvei Dinim, if you pardon the phrase, in Bittul. One din of Bittul is it's a kiyum of Tashbisu. And the Torah will recognize that as a kiyum of Tashbisu with regard to what kind of Chametz? Chametz Sheini Yadu'alo. Correct? And again, of course, there's no din of any adula as far as Bira Yisuri Anah is concerned. Here the Torah says, just be mafkir the Shem Chametz, and that act of bitul is your fulfillment of the mitzvah of Tashbisu, of Bira Chametz, not in a physical sense, but in a halachic legal sense, to be mafkir the Shem Chametz for Chametz Sheni Yadula. However, bitul serves another function. And bitul protects him from Bayirah Bayimotzeh. Again, how that works, let's just say, again, I'm oversimplifying something that's very confusing and very complex. Let's just say that bittul's hefker. Okay? Just again, l'saber to ozen. Again, the Ramban is going to fight tooth and nail against this. But let's say that according to the Rambam Shita against the Ramban, bittul equals hefker. Oh, the Torah says, Ba'yirah l'cha. It's no longer l'cha because I did bittul. Would I have fulfilled the mitzvah of tashbisu? The answer is no, because it's chometz yedua. And chometz yedua, b'toras yisuri anah, requires bir mamish. So as far as the mitzvah tashbisu, we're going to allow him, b'shevi alta said, to forfeit the mitzvah of biur, of destroying the chametz, which if all things were ideal, that's what we would require him to do. Get up from your chair, you know, go home, and quickly destroy the chametz. Because it's yisuri anah. But if he can't do that, and there are mitigating circumstances, then at least we want to offer you a protection against b'yirah b'yimotzeh. It's not going to be a mitzvah of bittul b'toras tashbisu, which only applies to chametz she'ena yedua, because now it's chametz yedua, but at least chach achieve the basic, and that is protect yourself from two lavim by doing bittul, which is mitam hefka. Let me just see if he ubetalmid ayoshev bifnei rabo rak siluk bal yirah b'yimotzeh al yedei bitulo. The Enochinami Chasilo Mitzvah Tashbisu, because the mitzvah of Tashbisu now, insofar as it's Chometz Yaduolo, can only be fulfilled through physical destruction. And the mitzvah of Tashbisu through Bittul can only be fulfilled on Chometz She'ena Yadua. But what you can achieve, and this is the minimum achievement, but it's very significant in the case of Chometz Yadua, in a case where you cannot fulfill Tashbisu of Chometz Yadua because you can't physically destroy it, then at least you can protect yourself from what? From Bal Yirah B'Yimotzeh, let's say by making it Hefker, we'll just use that paradigm.
Why do you have to destroy?
And just 1 second, the last line, just want to finish the whole thing, and then we'll get up to page 15. He says the following. Perhaps we could go a step further, and we could even say that a Talmud, Hayoshe Bifnei Rabo, could be Mekayim. Now listen to this. This is a real complicated concept. Miktas mitzvahs tashbisu. Now wait a second. What do you mean miktas tashbisu? Either it is tashbisu or it's not tashbisu. You know, you want to tell me that the Bal Yirah B'Yimotzeh in the Talmud Ayoshevei Rabo protects him from... I'm sorry, if the bittul, I meant to say, in the case of Talmud Bifnei Rabo protects him from Bal Yirah B'Yimotzeh, that I understand. But now the Rav wants to go even a step further. And he wants to call it a miktas kiyum of tashbisu. What does that mean? He says the following. That although chametz b'toras isuri anah, in the case of chametz yedualo, requires physical destruction, and therefore we would have assumed, ipso facto, you can't be mekayim your mitzvah of tashbisu unless you physically destroy it. Bittul is not even an option. However, it could be that since chametz comes under two different categories, number one, you have to destroy it midin biur isuri anah. Number two, you have to destroy it because of the shame chametz. It could be that these two elements can be separated one from the other, and they're independent. Which means that even if I don't fulfill my obligation of biur in physically destroying isuri anah, at least I can fulfill one dimension of the mitzvah of destroying chametz through bittul, even on chametz yedua. So what the Rama means to say when he says that for chametz yedua you have to destroy it physically, he means to tell you that because if you don't do so, you remiss in your full-fledged obligation of destroying yisuri anah. But the Rama didn't mean to say that therefore if he's mevatel chametz yedua, he has absolutely zero kiyum of the mitzvah of tashbisu. Maybe he has a miktas kiyum of tashbisu, meaning he can fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu by removing the shame chametz through bittul. And why does the Rav want to entertain such a possibility? Because of a Rambam, not in Hilchas Chametz Umatzah, but a Rambam in Hilchas Brachos.
The word dayar is not a nice word.
Where is dayar?
No, that the Talmud can be mevatel v'dayar. not
Dayo. Well, no, Dayo means we're waiving, we're exempting him, exonerating him. I don't know what the word
is. Too much of a hassle.
No, not because the mitzvah of Kvod Rabo. Again, we're not going into the details. The mitzvah of Kvod Rabo is now going to trump the mitzvah of Tashbisu in the case of Isuri Anor. And therefore the Gemara says Dayo. Well, what did the Rav find in Hilchos Brachos? You know, we're learning Hilchos Chametz Matzah here, Perek Beis, and now all of a sudden Hilchos Brachos. So the Rambam tries to justify in Hilchos Brachos the nusach of the bracha on biur, which is al biur chametz. Now keep in mind, the Rambam's opinion, I don't know, did we discuss this? No, that's my 8:30 class. The Rambam says the following, that first responder to the question of what nusach is appropriate for mitzvahs is lamed. Right, laniach tefillin and lisate betzitzis and leishay basuka and so forth and so on. Al is the exception to the rule. So the Rambam now has a problem. And what's his problem? He doesn't know why the nusach of bir chametz is asher kinshamitz, and this is explicit in the Gemara. We're going to get to it on Daf Zayin. Al bir chametz. Now the Rambam recognizes the exception to a nusach of al as opposed to lamed in two cases. One case is lulav, where the bracha is al netilas lulav, and the other case is netilas yodayim, which is al netilas yodayim. And the Rambam says that both of them can be explained with the same principle. And what is that principle? That we don't use lamed when we forfeit over lasiyosan. Lamed, says the Rambam, is appropriate for over lasiyosan. So I have my tefillin, I'm about to wear my tefillin, don my tefillin, and therefore lehaniach tefillin. Don't ask me any questions from Tvil Shel Rosh. I know it's on your mind, on your head. So that's Le'aniyach Tefillin.
Because it is.
Why? Because the Lashon of Lamed means Asher Kinshanu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu Lasos. That's called Over Lasios. And right before my Asiya, I make the Bracha. And the appropriate Nusach is with a Lamed. However, there are two exceptions to that rule. And now we're going to add a third. Those are mitzvahs where we forfeit the over lasios. And the Rambam says the following. In lulav we have a principle called mida'agbe nothikbe. So as soon as he picks up the lulav, he was yotze. And therefore the nusach ha-bracha has to reflect the fact that there's no longer a lasos. It's not antecedent, but it's post facto. And that's called al. Again, how that works is, let's say al is on the kiyum ha-mitzvah, al is on the entity of the mitzvah. You have to really rack your brains and see how al solves your problem. But that's the Rambam's rule. He says in Netilas Yadayim, we only make the bracha after our hands are wet, and then we dry our hands. In between the wetting our hands and the drying our hands, we make the bracha. It's got to be al, because the basic mitzvah was already fulfilled.
There are other exceptions. The Rambam has the same principle to al achilas matzah, al mikra megillah.
We don't know the answer to that question. The Rambam tries to explain al mikra megillah according to the Rambam, and it's very, very difficult. But be that as it may, this is the general, how should I say, guidelines. The sketchy frame. Says the Rambam, I now have an answer to al bir chametz. Why? Unbelievable chiddush of the Rambam. I think, Alan, you may have mentioned this on your own. I don't know if you knew about the Rambam. And that is that the moment he picks up the nair, so to speak, I mean, that's not the Rambam's language, and he's about to embark upon bir chametz, or bedika / bir, at that moment, gomar belibo, the Rambam says he's already made a decision in his heart that he wants to get rid of chametz. The chametz is, that's enemy number one is his chametz. Says the Rambam, that's bittul. Is memela, says the Rambam, the nusach habracha has to reflect the fact that when he starts his bedikah, he's already fulfilled the mitzvah bir chametz, albeit not in the physical sense, but in the sense of bittul. Let's read the Rambam's language. I did say it? Alan said it, I think. No, maybe it was you, I don't know. Okay, whatever it is, let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam says the following. Misha shegomra belimo livdok, right, is nasei's mitzvah sabir kodem sheyivdok. It's even before he he implements the bedikah, he's already decided in his heart he wants to get rid of the chametz. That, says the Rambam, is bittul.
Yeah.
Now wait a second. What do you mean that's a kiyum of tashbisu? It's like minag b'nafik bay. We just finished saying that according to the Rambam, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu until you destroy your chametz. So you can give many different answers to this, but one answer that you can give is that bittul is a mixas kiyum of tashbisu, meaning b'toras yisurian no, we have to wait until he finishes this process, let's call it tomorrow afternoon when he destroys it, he burns his chametz. But b'toras shem chametz, the bittul itself is meaningful as a kiyum of tashbisu, b'toras this unique identity as chametz. And therefore, the Rambam says, I can already make the bracha as if I fulfilled my mitzvah, although I didn't fulfill the whole mitzvah, but I fulfilled part of the mitzvah. I mean, again, just what I'm trying to show you, Rabosai, is we just read 10 lines in a work that's hundreds of pages long. And what time is it? I'm very confused here. Have we started about a half hour ago?
12.
So it's almost a half hour ago since we started, and we read 12 lines. I mean, do you begin to see, you know, the profundity of thought over here? And this is Rav Aaron Kahn, based on other people's notes, because he was ill until he gets up to page 82. And then he benches Gomel because he gets out of bed. I don't remember that he was ill, but that's what it says over here.
With that introduction, it's
sorry. I got a little carried away.
No, but that's the question.
What happened? I made myself a tea.
Something I'm missing.
Yeah.
Can I make you tea?
No. I made myself a tea. Where did it go? Okay. I don't know.
Where did we
go? You know, there's
something here.
Oh, that's where it is. Thank you so much.
So that was not the end.
Ooh, cold tea. Yeah.
Can I? Give you some hot water in the tea bag.
Here, please. Fill it up if you don't mind, Sam. You just the half hot and then the half cold.
It seemed to me, I must be missing something here, but when you, the operative word, I thought, in Bedika, is your chametz. That means you have to destroy your chametz. I don't have to destroy chametz.
Yenem's chametz, right?
So,
I'm not obligated to clean up your chametz. I have to have enough for a headache with my chametz.
So if I make it all hefker, I don't have any chametz.
So and therefore what?
Therefore, I don't have to destroy it.
Well, let me ask you the following question. I don't have an answer to this question, Alan, but I want to throw it out because this question bothers my mind and I don't know who addresses this question, but I think it's an intelligent question. The Re in Tosas, Daf Dalet Amud Beis, says that Bittul equals Hefker. Torah Hiva Lilmud Ani Tzarich. I don't understand. I'm going to destroy my chametz. If I've already done Bittul, then it's not my chametz. So what happens to the mitzvah of Tashbisu? I don't have an answer to that question. I'm telling you, there's a simple answer to that question. I just don't know what it is. Well, you know, certain kashas are so basic, it's like a child would ask this question.
And
this is bothering me for a long time.
It's equal or.
I can't find anyone who answers this
question. Why don't you just say it's either or? If you're not going to make a bittul, you need
Tashbisu. So, that's the shita of the Ran.
Right.
And that's going to take us down a road called Hafka Shem Chametz. But the Tosfos, the shita, the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam, is that Bittul is just Hefker. It's no longer mine. Now, if it's no longer mine, I made it Hefker. Where's the mitzvah Tashbisu? I just don't get it.
Well, you could say that.
You're telling me that I have to be Mafkir my Chametz. Forget about Bittul. Let's say, according to all the rules and regulations of Hefke, you need three, according to Rav Yossi, and it's got to be Bepeh, not Bemachshava, whatever the requirements of which the Ramban. What?
It's not sufficient for B or either.
Why is it?
Well, that's what I'm asking you.
Why?
It's not. Wait a minute, Sam.
You have to burn it.
You know, what I'm suggesting is the following. You don't have to destroy your chametz. Wait a minute, Sam. Did you ever sell your chametz? Oh, I don't want to put you on the spot. But let's assume, like a good Jew, you sell your chametz and you give the rabbi a little extra money. You know what I'm saying? That's your hakaras hatov for the year. They don't know anything about that here in Israel, but anyway, in America, that's what we used to do.
That's because the rabbi shouldn't be doing it. So I guess of Yanes, I call.
That what?
That's why you give the rabbi a few dollars. to explain, to making him feel better about, because he's earning a little bit of a living, that that's why he's involved in this haraba altogether of selling the chametz.
Oh, you mean to say it's like a bribe, you know, saying, exactly. I thought it was Hakar Satov because the Balabatim realized that the salary of the rabbi is very, very stingy, very meager. So at least they look for one opportunity. It's interesting, in Toronto, you know when they found a day to give Hakar Satov to the Rabbanim and the Mechanchim? Anybody know? I was shocked when I got to Toronto. On Purim. Now the law of Purim of Matos of Mishloach Manos means you have to give food. Money is not a key, but they used to give money. That's what I found in America. One of the occasions, and maybe there were a few others, but not very rare, where you wanted to express Hakar Satov to the rabbi, is you know officially the rabbi does all the paperwork and the documentation, and then he finds a guy and he sells the chametz. So you stump him a couple of bucks, right? Here in this country, they never heard of it.
Well, because the rabbi doesn't do any effort. He's just an agent of the rabbanut.
So. No, you don't understand what I'm saying. It's not really the effort. When you give a rabbi, let's say, you were in Muncie, right? And you gave the rabbi, I don't know if you did, but I'm saying in theory, you gave the rabbi a couple hundred bucks or whatever you gave him on for selling your chametz. It wasn't because of the effort, really. It was just an excuse to express, because the rabbi's too embarrassed to take gifts from you during the year, so you found an excuse. Anyway, in this country, they never heard of it. They don't know what it's about. Just sell my chametz, and that's it.
Hopefully, they give the rabbi chickens instead.
There was one guy who gave me a gift. I was in shock. I was totally shocked. Anyway, where were we? Oh, so here's what I want to say, Sam. Let's assume that you sell your chametz. Do you have to destroy your chametz? Ridiculous! You sold it. If you sold it, it's not yours. If it's not yours, and there's no bayir or bayir motzei, and there's no point in destroying something that's not yours.
But that's only now. Could. The nekira is only how at this man hayisur.
Okay, so you're right. Theoretically, but I was just. Again, I wasn't. I was only using mechiras chametz to get you on board, to have you understand that it doesn't make any sense to destroy something that is owned by someone else. Now, according to the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam, Bittel effectuates a mechiras chametz, not to any specific guy, but you make it hefker. Now, if it's not yours, then the mitzvah tashbisu is completely gone. Now, if the Torah recognizes Bittel and the Rabbanim require Bittel, because they're not going to rely on your Bittel. You might find the Gluski of faith, as we discussed yesterday at great length. So once you require Bittel, take the mitzvah tashbisu and just throw it overboard.
But what about in the mitzvah itself? There is a man, Yama says, right? Bittel b'yamasav, you mean deraisa. What his shita has to be that Bittel equals tashbisu, or he wouldn't have ever.
No, that's what I'm telling you, that Bittel equals tashbisu, and the Ri says Bittel is not tashbisu. The Ri says that Bittel is just making it hefker, and therefore it's eino shalcha, and and therefore you've protected yourself from buying your own bayimotz. It's basically equivalent to selling your chametz.
No,
in that case, it's not a key of a tashbisu.
No,
so how do you fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu?
It's one distinction. It's not the same as selling your chametz. It's not the same as selling your guy. You told us, Rashi told us yesterday, Rashi said, to put a mechitza, you chametz in the guy's, you and the guy's chametz fits in your house. Why? Because it's his. He's going to be upset if he destroys chametz. If right. I sell it to somebody, I can't destroy it because it belongs to somebody.
Right.
Hefker is different. It doesn't belong to anybody. My potential of my eating it by accident because I'm not stealing from somebody is potential only by Hefker, but not by chametz I've sold. So I might have to, Chazal may have said, burn it anyway. There's still a tashbis on Hefker because you might.
I have no issues. I have no compulsions as to why the Rabbanu want you to destroy it. I understand that. I'm not that dumb. What I'm asking is that didn't the Rabbanu, by instituting the requirement of Bittel, because again, the Gemara says that even though you could be Makayim your mitzvah without Bittel, you should and you're required to do it. In effect, haven't they just completely undermined the mitzvah of tashbisu? Do you follow my point?
Yeah,
there's no way that after Bittel, according to the Ri and Rabbeinu Tam, you could be Makayim the mitzvah of tashbisu because it's not your chametz. So I have no. It doesn't bother me if the Rabbanim say, well, look, you did Bittel, but you have a piece of pastry on your table, you might come to eat it, get rid of it. I understand that very well. But where's the mitzvah of tashbisu? So you could have said that on a Doraisa level, he's not doing Bittel, and therefore he could destroy his chametz. But once you've told me that the Rabbanan required him to do Bittul, in effect, they have completely pulled the rug at him under the mitzvah of Tashmisa. I'm sure there's an answer to this question, but I simply don't know what it is. What I'd like to do now, Rabbosa, is learn with you the Ramban. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Because I still have this book that I want to get to, the Seder Ha'or. The Ramban, if you can pick up your photocopy, at the very beginning of Masechta Pesachim, he says the following. Upirish Rashi, you'll see this in the last line of the first paragraph. Dichsiv tashbisu, veloksiv tevaru, tashbasa belevi. This is Rashi on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, and Rashi understands that you fulfill the mitzvah of tashbisu with bittul. And again, Tosus Shita is completely different. Bittul is just simply a way making hefker, therefore avoiding the violation of Bal Yerobam. The Hikshu Ola Bittosus. Tamrinon Ach Chilik. Umehocha Nafkalon Isura Bittchila Sheva. Iashbasa Bittul Hi. If you interpret and translate the word of Ashbasa as Bittul, Heichi Mahanya, how could it be that Tashbisu means at Chatzos, that's called Achilik, which is the beginning of the seventh hour that you do Bittul, because that's the word Tashbisu means. Ach Tashbisu means midday you do Tashbisu. But what's going on over here? Midday is already Basar Isure. And the Gemara establishes on Daf Vav Amud Beis, in the famous Sugya of Gluski of Faith that we touched yesterday, they came on the Higia Shas Isur, the Labr Susik, Lo Matzil Mavakal. We're in a very paradoxical situation here. And we have to figure out how the alternative is any better. But the sheet of Rashi is that Tashbisu means bittul, and that's why the Torah went out of its way to use the word Tashbisu and not Tevaru. Well, wait a minute. At what point in time does the Torah say Tashbisu? It says Ach Tashbisu, which means midday. Now, with midday, we have an Isur of Chametz. If it's Lachar Shas Isuro, paradoxically, how are you going to do bittul? If you tell me Tashbisu means bittul, and the moment of Tashbisu is going to be midday, which is the same exact moment as the Shas Isuro, then you just undermine the whole enterprise of bittul. And that's Tosus Kasha against Rashi. Now, Rav Soloveitchik has a whole shtickle Torah here to defend Rashi, but before we do that, I want to add another Kasha. That's the next paragraph.
Why doesn't Ramban extend that question and say that once now it's the Torah took it out of Yerusha, so you don't have the Chiyuv Tashbisu anymore anyway? It's not yours. The Torah took it away from you. I don't even have to burn it.
You want to strengthen the Ramban's kasha.
Yes, strengthen it, saying that you shouldn't have to do any mitzvah here if you don't want to. Let the Torah take it out of Yerusha on the seventh hour.
That's not a kasha. I'll tell you why, because the Gemara actually addresses that kasha. That's a famous statement of Rabbi Lozer that the Torah, so to speak, puts it back into Yerusha. Again, we're going to get to that with Barbara Shusar Rabin. That's all in these pages that I gave you, but I'm just trying to move at a...
Is this an issue where all the Surah Nara? The Surah Nara are not yours, right?
Yeah.
So why do you have to get rid of them?
Good kasha. I don't know the answer to that kasha.
So but if it's Tashbisu specific or it's just a general problem.
No, you're asking a good kasha. I don't know.
Why
right
do you say
right now, I can't.
Why do you say
I'm just trying to get by this piece again. Rabosai, for some reason, the Bali HaTosfos are not bothered by Tashbisu if Tashbisu means literally Tevaru. In other words, the Bali HaTosfos will somehow accept that Tashbisu means, by the moment, when you get to the moment and you arrive at the beginning of the seventh hour with Chatzos, you've already destroyed your Chatz. That's okay. But if you're going to interpret the way Rashi interprets that Tashbisu means Bittul, then how can Tashbisu be at Achilek? And I'm wondering, again, I don't want to anticipate everything we're going to see here, but Lechor, the same logic that you apply according to the Bali HaTosfos, you should be able to apply to Rashi.
He's buying the seventh hour.
Yeah, why doesn't he start his bittul 1 minute before the clock strikes noon? And then the Chometz is already mevutal at 12 noon. So somehow, Tosfos accuses Rashi of holding that Tashbisu means at that moment of Achilik, and it's already after Shas Isuro when bittul is ineffectual. Why can't we assume, and Tosfos is not willing to tolerate this, that the Maisa Bittul will be before 12 noon? But again, Tosfos is bothered because Tashbisu means at Achilik, and that's already too late. No, so if Tashbisu means physical destruction, then it's also too late. So somehow, if it's physical destruction, the Torah is going to take a laid-back attitude. The Torah is going to say like this, look, you have to get involved in destruction. It may take you an hour, or whatever time it takes you, until you destroy your chametz. That's not a violation of chametz, of ownership over chametz, because you're involved in destroying the chametz. But if bittul means Tashbisu, or Tashbisu means bittul, then how could Tashbisu be an action that is mandated by the Torah at a moment when Tashbis, when Bittul is ineffectual?
Well, isn't there also a clear distinction between this and the case you said earlier of Nosar? Yeah. Right? There's no mitzvah to burn Nosar a minute before it becomes Nosar. The only time the mitzvah to burn Nosar is when it already became Nosar and you're already over the Isser of Nosar.
Correct. That's so, called a lav ani tekliyes.
But Torah is telling us a different type of lav, you're saying. The law of Tashbisu isn't to counteract the fact that you now are over the Isser of Chometz after Ach.
Right.
It's a preventative.
Right. And how can it be preventative if it's bittul? If it's going to be physical destruction, so that you can set up a modus vivendi in which you physically destroy it, and then by the time Chometz is also, it's already gone. But if you're telling me that Tashbisu means bittul, and the Torah is commanding you to do bittul at the moment of Chatzos, that's a little bit late for bittul.
But that's why you make the bracha on the bedika, so to indicate that the Tashbisu is a process.
You know, you're right, but again, according to Rashi, the mitzvah of Tashbisu means Hashpasa Belev, which is Bittul. So how do you understand that? How does that work? Again, you can talk about the Rabbanans, you can talk about Bedika being the first stage in the process and making a broch on that. That's fine. But that doesn't answer my very boxed off question. How can the Torah say Tashbisu at a moment in time when Bittul is impossible? Now, according to Rashi, Tashbisu equals Bittul. And the Torah says that's going to be an achilik. At that moment, it's already shasi sura. That's the paradox of bittul according to Rashi as a form of tashbisu. Again, if bittul has nothing to do with tashbisu, as we said before, the Baal HaTosfos are going to identify bittul simply as a protection from bayur bayimatzeh, but not as a kiyum of tashbisu, then it's fine. Then you could do bittul and just remove your bilus over it. But that has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Tashbisu. The paradox is according to Rashi, because Rashi identifies Tashbisu as bittul. And if Tashbisu is at Achilek, that's already after Shasi Sur. Wait, just one second. It's unbelievable. I haven't even gotten to square one here. Let's just read, I just want to read the next paragraph in the Ramban. And he has another kasha. The old kasha, the hod is Sanya Rabbi Kiva Omer, ain't old sarich. Harehu Omer, ach bayomarish and tashbisu siar, matzino avarshi amaloch, alma tashbisu beer dafku, ubisrefa, evilomishtamea, bittul klal. Here's the Rabban's kasha on Rashi. Rashi identifies tashbisu as bittul, because the word tashbisu means hashbasibuli. The Gemara has a whole ganze sugya trying to figure out how do we know that the phrase Bayoma Rishon refers to Yudalid Benisa, maybe refers to the first day of Pesach. And Rabbi Akiva says it can't be. Why? Because we paskin that Havara Lechalik Yotzes. And if Havara is Lechalik Yotzes, then one of the 39 malachas that are prohibited on Yontif is Sreifa. How could the Torah command me in Tashbisu on the first day of Yontif when I violate the Isser of Havara? That's Rabbi Akiva's cash. Says Tosfos, wait a minute, according to Rashi, Tashbisu doesn't mean Havara. Tashbisu means Hashpasa Belev. The whole foundation of Rabbi Akiva just collapses under his feet. He's got no leg to stand on. Bishleim, according to the Baal HaTosfos, if Tashbisu means physical destruction and it means Sreifa, then we're in trouble. Rabbi Akiva holds, Ein Bir Chametz El Sreifa. How can that be? If it's Yom HaRishon to be taken literally, there's no possibility of burning your chametz on the first day of Yontif. That would be a violation of Havara, and we pass it Havara L'chalik. So Rekiva therefore proves that the Yom HaRishon has to be on Erev Yontif, but not on Yontif. But according to Rashi, that Tashbisu equals Bittul, the whole presentation of Rabbi Akiva completely crumbles in front of our eyes. And this leads to Rabbeinu Tam. Lefichach Pirshu B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam. We have it in the name of the Ri. That Masha Amru B'Bittel B'Al Masagi Mishum D'Bittel Hainu Hefker. And Bittel is not a Kiyum of Tashbisu. It only circumvents and avoids the violation of Bal Yerov Bal Yematzim. And after one, where do we derive Bittel from? We derive from the fact that the Torah says Lo Yematzei Lecha, Lo Yerov Lecha, Lecha At Iyat Harov, Lo Taroh Evachulim. You can see chametz if it's not yours. V'zeu Das Rav Hosein Tzarfatim Zal B'Bittel. Now, if I would stop here, I would have assumed, I would have jumped to conclusion, jumped the gun really, that the Ramban embraces the sheet of the Balei Tosfos and Bittel equals Hefker, and it's not a Kiyum of Tashbisu. Because after all, the Ramban has presented a whole bunch of objections to Rashi. It cannot be that Tashbisu means Bittel, and that Bittel is more than just Hefker, but Bittel is a Kiyum of the Mitzvah of Tashbisu, because if that be the case, then how could you be Mavatel the Chometz after Shasi Suro? And how could Rabbi Akiva prove that Beyom HaRishon is referring to Erev Pesach? But yet, at this particular juncture, the Ramban is going to raise, I believe, 5 objections against Tosfos. Now, if as a result of these 5 objections, the Ramban is going to come full swing back to Rashi, then he owes us a debt. Because he's got to now defend Rashi against these 2 kashas that he asked. Or, alternatively, maybe the Ramban is a third shita. Okay, but if we assume, and we're going to go through the Ramban, that the Ramban is going to reject Tosfos and come back to Rashi, he's got to address those 2 kashas. What are the 5 kashas of the Ramban? Kasha number 1. In Cain, Lama his kiru kama pa'omim b'chol mesech dezu loshen bitul. Why does the word bitul appear? Forget about the word bitul. According to Tosfos, there should be another word, another term that should describe bitul. It should replace bitul, a more universal term. What would be that? Hefker. Why don't we find the word hefker? Not once do we find hefker anywhere in the literature with regard to chametz. Instead, we find this word bitul. Says the Ramban, all over Shas, the Rabbanon and the Shas utilize the term Hefker. Here there's no word Hefker. V'lo mishtame tana lememar b'chametz Hefker. V'lo lememar bittel. There's no case in which instead of using the word bittel, the Tana uses the word Hefker. You know what? Let's find one sugyan Shas that uses Hefker in the context of bittel. You won't find it. And the Ramban is challenging us in contemporary society. Do a word search. Yechiel is very good at this. And show me if you find the word hefker anywhere in the early sources, again before Tosfos, with regard to chametz. You won't find. It's just like you won't find mechiras chametz anywhere in Shas. Because mechiras chametz is not relevant. That's not bittel, and that's not tashbisu, and that's nothing. That's just get rid of your chametz. You know, give someone else ownership over the chametz. And to that same extent, you won't find Hefker anywhere. And the Gemara constantly, consistently uses the term Bittel. That's Kasha number 1. Now, I'm going to skip the Avodah Zarah, and we're going to go over to the Od Kasha, which you'll see on the bottom of the right column. Here's question number 2. Shabittel, Dover Poshet Hu B'Gemara, Below Machlokes, to be the rice of a Bittel Ba'amasagile. The Gemara says on Daf Dalim and Beis, and no one is poteach pev mitzafseif, that bittel is sufficient. You don't find any Tana anywhere who says I object to bittel. It's universally accepted. Frekter Ramban, what about Rabbi Yosi? He says ve'ilu behefker itmar binidaren beperik ein ben amudar till Rabbi Yosi hefker kimatana. Now, in Matana, when does the transaction, when is it clinched? Only when he receives it. Right. He has to make a kinyan on the other end. There's got to be a recipient. Rabbi Yossi applies the same standard and the same rules to Hefker. Ma Matana de Isel Rishuse de Makabil, Velo Nafke Rishuse de Nose, Naf Hefker, Adi Yossi Rishus Zoka, Lo Nafke Rishus Hefker. In other words, it doesn't go I'm sorry, Mishus Mafkir, I meant to say, right? The Hefker will not be affected, will not be effectual until somebody picks it up.
So we don't recognize ownerless property.
Right. According to Rabbi Yossi, there's no such thing as ownerless property. Ownerless property doesn't exist. The property becomes ownerless only in conceptual terms, but the effect or the chalos, if you want to call it, of hefker is conditional. It is delayed until the point when somebody picks it up. Now, the last time I did bittul, and I think you'll agree with me, no one came to claim my chametz.
That's like putting the garbage.
So that's not hefker.
Putting the chametz in the garbage, it has to be picked up.
Yeah, you're right. The poskim have a lot to say about that. You know, people throw their chametz on Erev Pesach into the dumpster. Okay, that's a problem. So again, let's go over this one more time. The kasha is, nobody seems to object against bittul. We find that bittul is reliable and the Torah recognizes it, it's valid. Nobody questions that. Why not? What do we do with Rabbi Yossi, who equates hefker with matana? Lo yotzev rishus mafkir adi osi lishus zocher. Is lahach svara hifkir chemtso, according to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, if you mafkir your chametz, you know, so let's grant that Tosus is right. Let's substitute the word hefker for bittul. But calls much lezocher bo goyim. That's interesting. You know, he doesn't want to say chas shalom. A yid is going to come into zocher in your chametz because he's going to violate Pali Rabbi Yomotzi. Is over.
He can't be zocher.
Why not? If I'm mafkir something and the guy wants to take it?
Can you get ownership of chametz on Pesach?
Well, again, we're talking about a guy now.
Oh, no.
So you want to know if a Jew would come.
A Jew cannot own it.
Okay, maybe it means on Erev Pesach, let's say, right? Because it's before Shas Yisurah. So I'm going to be mavata my chametz, and now a Jew is going to be zocher. That's like a stupid thing for a Jew to be zocher my chametz. You know, he's got to have his head examined. So he gives the example of a guy. And if the goy would come in, and you know that's what we call mechiras chametz, basically. But instead, we're using bittul, which is hefker. According to Rabbi Yossi, as soon as the goy comes in, again, I don't know how he goes into the house because he's trespassing. But let's say, you know, you put a sign out, you know, anybody can come into my house and take my chametz. Is then until that point, right? Kolzman shelo zocha bo goy is over. Then he asks, I don't know if this is the third question, because my number was 5, but if we add this as a third, so the number's going to have to go up to 6. But in any event, I think it's a variation of the same second question. That the Gemara Nedarim, in a Sugya 2 blot later, quotes a Mandiomer who says that Hefker requires 3 people. Now that's not called what we call Lebir Adover, that's called Lekium Adover. You mean you need a tribunal of 3 people in order to effectuate Hefker. And Hefker b'fnei Shnayim lo avi Hefker. And yet the Gemara says, Mevatlo Belibo Vidayo. Belibo means nobody's around. It's just me, myself, and I. I'm locked up in a room, no one's here, nobody hears me, there's no declaration of Hefker, and it works. How can it work if you hold that bittul equals hefker and hefker requires that she is gebo acherim, and that she is gebo acherim according to this requires a hefker that was proclaimed in the presence of 3? Od kashali, let's call this number 3 or whatever number you want. Sheitiru bittul b'shabbos. Now watch this. Hefker is usher on Shabbos. Why? There's a principle called kinyanin. So if I remove my bialus over something, that itself would be usher on Shabbos. That's called hefker.
Is usher to do, or it doesn't take effect?
Interesting. So that might depend upon a bai verova of yovid mahani or lomahani, if you're familiar with that. But one thing I can guarantee you, you're not allowed to be mafkir nechas. It's a sugya in Masechta Shabbos, and it also appears, it's a darabana. It also appears in Beitzah, it also appears here in Psachim. Now, no one questions the possibility of bittul on Shabbos or Yontif. The Gemara says that if you find a gluski of feifa on Yontif, you should be mavatal. The only problem is it's after Shas Yisuro. But let's leave out after Shas Yisuro in pure abstract terms, conceptually, he could be mavatal.
Shabbos is every place up, and you realize if that comment is.
So, what are you going to do now? If it's hefker, also the other lahafkin chosiv b'shabbos, he quotes the Gemara in Beitza. this is the last Mishnah in Masechta Beitzah. Has a whole list of things that you're not allowed to do on Yontif or on Shabbos. That's called Gzeir Mishum Mekach Umemkar. Makdishim, you don't make something Hegdesh. You're not Makadish and Isha on Shabbos or on Yontif. Ein Marichim, Ein Machrimim. And one of them is Hefker. You're not allowed to be Mafke Nechasim on Shabbos or Yontif. Say, so how could Bittul be acceptable on Shabbos and Yontif if Bittul equals Hefker? Od kashali sheshanu chacham b'chol makom mevatlo b'libo, but hefker is bepeh. In other words, even if you reject Rabbi Yossi and Masechta Nedarim, who requires a tribunal of three, and you pass like the chachamim, but nevertheless hefker has to be bepeh. There's no such thing as hefker b'lev. With regard to hegdesh, there's a whole issue about whether hegdesh operates when he's makdish in b'lev. But in hefker, everybody agrees you need bepeh. The ode, and furthermore, I need topic the inyan hazeh sharishonim kulam amru bebitul. Let's look at the nusach of bitul. It's all based on a Yerushalmi. Rashi quotes this on daf dalet. Kol chamir deika bershusa ye batil v'chashiv ki afra diara. Rabosa, does that sound like hefker? There's not one mention of the word hefker. Again, hefker is a later addition because of the Balei HaTosfos. But if you go back to the early sources in the Talmud, you will not find the word hefker in the Nusach of Bittul. It's like Iker Chasim and a Sefer. All you're doing is you're declaring that this chametz in your eyes is like the dirt on the ground. That's not hefker. And the Rabban is going to claim that if I own something of value and I would say lehevi ki afra diara, it would not be hefker. The Gemara quotes in the Yerushalmi of Sochim, Rav Amar Tzok Shei Kol Chomet Shei Yesh Li V'Tov Beisi V'Eni Yodua Yevata. The Eni Yodea. Okay, here the Ramban is not 100% sure. Interesting. A Chakira of the Ramban, a Sofik of the Ramban. Eni Yodea. Im Adam Mafkir B'loshen Hazeh Sheyoma Kol Mechasa Yubetelim U'Chashuvim Ke'ofar. Would that be effective? So we're not talking about chametz now, right? We're talking about hefker. A man declares that his nechosim should be like afra diara, like the dirt on the ground.
Not being mefarid.
That's all he says. I want my nechosim, here's my beautiful palace that I live in, let it be like I'm saying, he says it at something of value. You know,
if it's, doesn't say stam. My nechassim should be.
Or he says what? Kol nechassai. Kol nechassai, okay? Yeah. All my nechassim should be batil ka'afra di'ah. The Ramban says, I doubt if it's hefke. The efsha zel edivere shlokish, the omar de lahaba, mashma, the mesech de krisus, the makamu matonish omar li akhra shabasa matonu li yodo, mivutelasi ti batil. What happens if a person offers you a matana, and the matana comes into your possession, and you make a declaration, let it be batel? So the Gemara says it all depends on what does it mean, ti batel. If ti batel is in the future tense, or it's in the past tense. And Reish Lakish is of the opinion that if it's lahava mashma, let it be batel going into the future, then it could be effective as far as kabbalas matana. But nevertheless, even in the case of Reish Lakish, he says matana zu mivutelasi, it's batel. I don't want this matana. But in a case where he would declare it's ka'afar, lama. Oh, Rabban says something. I find this very, very amusing. The Rabban says that a person can own offer. Now you and I might say that offer is worthless, it has no value. But he says if you need offer, yes, right, then it's valuable. You can go into a store and you can buy offer. I've been in the Catskills, they used to have these places where you buy offer. You know, you want to fill in, you know, you have a hole in your ground, you want to fill it in, or you want to plant something and you need offer. Offer has also got a value. So how could it be that if a person declares that his nechosim are like the offer, that would make it hefker? Offer itself has value. Maybe he wants to own the offer. I find that a little bit amusing. He says, "Hello, Afro Shal Adam, Eino Hefka."
But chametz that was.
Oh, now we get to the real juicy part. What?
Chametz that's comparable to afar is nothing to worry about.
Oh, only because bittel doesn't mean hefker. If bittel means hefker, you're in deep trouble, because by declaring your chametz like afar, well, maybe you own afar. That's not hefker. But if bittel comes under a different category, as we'll soon see the Ramban sheet, then it makes sense to say it's like afar. But now we get to the really. This is the. The brilliance of the Ramban. V'yod yeshli safek behefker. I have another reason why I doubt that hefker is effectual. L'fish etzrichu b'gemara trei kron. The Gemara says that we need two mi'utim. We need l'cha l'cha trei zimnei. That l'cha is a mi'ut. One is for a goy shelo kibashto, and one is for goy shekibashto. Now watch what happens. There's something called a goy shelo kibashto, which means the goy, again I'm oversimplifying, but the goy lives in my, you know, he works for me, I give him a little of a, what do I call it, you know, quarters, what's the word, you know, where he lives, you know what I mean, he has his chambers, what would you call it?
Servant's quarters?
That's called Loki Bashto, meaning I have no way of subjugating him. You know, he's not my Evan, but he works for me, he's in my employment, and I give him his quarters, and he has chametz there. So for that, I need the first mi'ut to tell me that if he has chametz there, it's his chametz, even if it's in my rishus, I don't have to be bothered by it. Now the Gemara says I need another exclusion, another lecha, for Nachri Shekibashto. Because Nachri Kibashto means he's under my subjugation, I don't know what word to use, and I can tell him exactly what to do. And therefore there's a Havamina that since I control him and I dominate him, therefore I have responsibility for his chametz and I violate Bal Yerovei Matzeh. Kamash Balan, once there's another Lecha, that comes to exclude and exonerate you from Bal Yerovei Matzeh in the case of Goyshe Kibashto. So the Rabban has the following question. The ilu hefker lo asi minayhu. He says that we don't have any miut for the case of chametz that you were mafkir. In other words, what's common, Rabbo say, to both nachri shekibashto and nachri shelo kibashto? Who owns the chametz? The guy owns the chametz, and we have two psukim of lacha. Both of them are coming to exclude chametz that's owned by a nachri, just that you would have a havin in it. Since it's kibashto, you have a certain, like a almost a yad, you almost have like a certain, yeah, that maybe you have some sort of a kinyan on his nechassim. But the answer is no, he's nachri and he owns the chametz, and even if it's kibashto and you can tell him exactly what to do, and yeah, if you want him to shine your shoes, you tell him to shine your shoes, but nevertheless he has his own private ownership. But we never found a miut to exclude hefker. You know, so Ramban is saying the following. It could be that there's a difference between chametz that you're mafkir and chametz that's owned by a guy. If the chametz is owned by a guy, it's not lecha, and therefore it doesn't come within the purview of Bayer or Bayer Matzah. But if the chametz is not owned by anybody, there's no guy that owns the chametz, you're only mafkir your chametz, then maybe you would violate Bayer or Bayer Matzah. In other words, wait a minute, just I want you to Rabosei see what's going on in front of our eyes. This is mind-boggling. The Ramban has doubts where the hefker would save you, would protect you from Bayer or Bayer Matzah. Are you listening to this? And again, I want you to look. Again, Rabos, I know you have kashas and everything else, but there's always, you know, first you have to let things sink in. This is an unbelievable Ramban. And we're going to have to work very hard to understand the Ramban, that something that I don't own is still included on the Bayer or Bayer Matzah. Why? Because the guy doesn't own it. And it's ownerless. So I'm mafkir something. Again, until now the Ramban says, I'm going to prove to you that Bittel's not Hefker. I have five proofs that Bittel's not Hefker. Now I'm going to go even further than that. I'm going to tell you, you know what, I grant you that Bittel is Hefker. But who says that Hefker is going to save you from Bayer or Bayer Matzeh? When the Gemara has Miyutim, it's only on the Shetach, you know, it's only on the domain of ownership of the chametz by a guy. But if ilu hefker, lo asi minayu. Says the Rabban, why? How could I violate by Rabbi Yamatzi if it's not mine? Says the Rabban, came into Leslie Bailum. There is no one on the face of the earth has a positive Bailus. The Lavda Cherim, who does, it's not owned by anyone. Afal Pisha Eno Shalcha, even though it's not yours, Eno Bechlal Heter Zeh. Now, what kind of logic could this be? I was mafkir my chametz, literally hefker, mamish with all adidim. And, you know, I had a tribunal of three people there. Everything was done kedas. Again, Rabbi Yossi says, that's going to be a problem. But yeah, let's say whatever.
Both sides of a coin. Yeah.
Right, but let's say according to all the shitas who say the following, I'm mafkir something, it's hefker. Says the Ramban, if you're mafkir your chametz, Ken Zion, he's not convinced that you still violate by. How could that be? It's not your chametz. Says the Ramban, De'iu motzi zochi be'menafsh. Because he can be zocha in this chametz. The fact that he has the potential to be zocha in the chametz makes it kaviyachal his. It's not really his. It's hefker. But it includes that chametz in Bal Yiro Bayi Motzi.
That's the same thing as saying that it's not hefker until somebody else is zocha.
Lamaisa, you're right, but not because Hefker depends upon somebody to be Zocha. He's going according to the Shitas Chachamim. Hefker is not like Matan Ad Yosili De Zocha, and yet you still have the right to be Zocha in it, and therefore you are capable, you're culpable under Bal Yoreh Be'Motzei. When are you Mafkir Bal Yoreh Be'Motzei? When somebody else is Zocha in it, it belongs to someone, as long as it doesn't belong to anyone, there's no Bailus of Acherim, then you're still culpable. And he says, Matzasi B'Yushalmi. He thinks he found it in the Yushalmi. And this, Yosef, is going to come back to your question about the dumper. Well, what's it called? The dumpsters? Is that how you call it? The Sardea. The Israelis call it the Sardea. He says, Matzasi Lefisha Matzasi B'Yushalmi Lo Yiralecha Is Tanoi Tanu Lo Yiralecha Shalchaya Taroa Avla Taroa Beflatya The Is Tanoi The Tanu Afilu Beflatya. Flatya means he left his chametz in an open area and he declared that it's hefker.
It's a dump.
Okay, not exactly a dump, but it's a, you know, flatya is, you have to learn the sugyas of Hotzah at the beginning of Shabbos. Flatya is an open area, like a kikar, you know? And now there's one Tana that says that Avala Taroa beflatya. As long as you take your chametz, you put in the flatya, and you say, I hereby invite anyone who wants to come and take it, then you prevented yourself from Bal Yiro Be'Motzei. It is Tanoi, but there are other Tanoim in the Yushalmi who say that Afilu beflatya. You still violate the Bal Yiro Be'Motzei, even though you left your chametz out in the flatya. Min demar Avala Taroa beflatya, kishef kiro kodem libiuro. And what does it mean, flatya? And as one man the other says that save yourself, protect yourself from Bayer Rabbi Mon. So that's if he made it hefker. Ubi kawakom, sugya. Okay, then now he goes back to his original position. I'll just read it. Ubi kawakom, sugya shehe bitul hefker, enum is kabil bakola sugya salalu, shalonu, velobi gumara bi yushalmi. There are no sugyas that seem to identify bittul as hefker, and in the Yushalmi there's a machlokus as to whether hefker would be in effect effective to save you from Bal Yiro Be'Motzei. Pili ploy. Who would believe? Again, I'm just being very naive about this because, well, you guys are already more advanced than I do, but in my position I would never believe that there was a havamina that would cross anyone of any intelligence level in Torah learning, that you make something hefker, its chametz is not yours, and you violate Bal Yiro Be'Motzei. The Ramban says it's a machlokes tanoim in the Yushalmi.
What does it mean that he has more access than the guy to it? Just practically? Is he standing next to it?
Okay, so Rav Salvechik has a whole piece on that. How are we doing on the clock?
It's
1:00. So I would like to stop here. Again, what I'd like you to do, if you have a chance over Shabbos, is to review the 5 caches of the Ramban. It shouldn't take you more than 5 minutes. The Ramban proves over and over again that Bittul is not Hefker. Number 2, this last piece in the Ramban, that even if I would grant you that Bittul is Hefker, I don't know, says the Ramban, if it would be effective to prevent you from buying Bal Yiro Be'Motzei, and the Ramban identifies this as a machlokes tanoim in Yushan. So if you could please open up Haseder Aruch and I'm already seeing, this is the last shiur I give for the week, I'm already seeing my vacation, but what is my vacation? Right, you think I'm going to Florida? By the way, it's 40 degrees in Florida, so I don't know if you, that's what I was told. There's an unbelievable frost, what was it called? Cold winter in America now. Chicago, it's geferlich. I gave a sculpture yesterday, Toronto, they told me it's minus 20 with a wind chill factor of minus 35 in Toronto.
And they identified places in the Midwest that has the coldest place on the planet.
Wow. It's dangerous. It's literally dangerous, I mean, especially for old people. So what am I doing now, you know, that I have a little bit of a break, so to speak? I'm going to be preparing a lot of shiurim for next week, because there's a lot on the agenda. I'm giving a shiur on Sunday night in a place called Mitzpeh Yericho, and they gave me the topic of Rosh Chodesh Adar Aleph. And I think what they have in mind, because Rosh Chodesh is I think on Tuesday, I don't remember when.
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yeah, is the topic of Mishenichnas Ador Marav Mesimcha. That applies to the Rishon. And I started looking into it. It's very complicated. Very complicated. So I gotta, you know, I'm not going on vacation.
What is this vacation you're talking about in general?
The weekend.
The weekend.
Yeah, the weekend for me, because I don't teach from Thursday afternoon until Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m.
You speak on Shabbat.
Oh yeah, Shabbat is I work harder than I do the rest of the week. Yeah, that's true.
You forgot that.
All right. So on both sides, the last few minutes of my official teaching, I wanted to learn with you a piece here in the Seder Aruch. Okay. Which hopefully you have the photocopies. Okay, let me just tell you in a minute what page. Page Tuf Chaf Beis.
Oh, yesterday you're sitting next to me.
If you're sitting next to Sam, then you'll have it. Sam's the man. Okay? Now, yesterday we had a long discussion about Kol Ram and about a Hefsek Sicha and the possibility of classifying the Mitzvah Haggadah under the Mitzvah Tefillah and Bakasha. Vayishma Hashem es Kolenu, and we spoke about various dimensions in Megillah. In Haggadah, which seems to imply Tfilos, that the Geula should be achieved, the ultimate Geula. And although I told you to turn to page Tav Chav Beis, I missed one important question on Tav Chav Aleph. And that is the paragraph Ches and then the paragraph Tes. And this is a fascinating question. Now I'm going to present to you what I know from my upbringing. That's the minhag that I'm familiar. Tell me if you have a different minhag. And that is that everyone recites the Haggadah for themselves. Is that pretty much?
Yeah. Yeah.
So guess what? That's against the Rambam. The Rambam says that Bnei Bayis Einom Omrim Haggadah, they should not recite the Haggadah. El Yotzim B'Shmia Mibala Bayis.
This is the Rambam?
This is the Rambam Shita.
Why?
Hatam, the Tam is already interpreting the Rambam. This is the Rav Shulchan Aruch. He says, Hatam Hu Mishum Sheberov Am Hadras Mel. Now let me just say a few words about Berov Am and the Rambam Shita. Whenever there's a kiyum of Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, instead of having a multitude of people recite that Shevach simultaneously, we want one Maisa Shevach on behalf of everyone. And that's called Berov Am. There's a machlokus with regard to Megillah, because the Gemara says in Megillah, Kriyasa Zui Hilula, whether or not if you have your own Megillah in front of you, you should be reading your Megillah. And there are many poskim who say, absolutely not. You should be listening to the Baal Koreh. The only time in which, according to that school of thought, that you should be reading it yourself, if you didn't hear the Baal Koreh, and you want to fill in, because otherwise you're not Yotze. So you have a Megillah Ksheir in front of you. But otherwise, be perfectly silent and listen to the Kriya of the Baal Koreh, because of Barov Am Hajus Melech. And if we apply that to Haggadah, as the Rambam in fact did, there should be one person reciting the Haggadah, and everyone should listen in. And by listening in, they hook up to one Kriya on behalf of everyone. And that's true from the perspective of Shevach V'Odoya. However, there is another principle that comes to play over here, and that justifies Abminug, which he says here, the Amenu, Noagim, at the end of Ches, Kol B'nei Bayis Likro HaGadah, each one of the Bnei Abayis should read the Haggadah himself. And the Aruch HaShulchan, for some reason, turns this into a sociological issue. Meaning, back at the time of the Rambam, not everyone had a printed Haggadah. So if you had a manuscript Haggadah, which today would probably be worth millions, right? Especially if it was, how do you say in Hebrew? In English, me'uvar, you know, there are...
Calligraphy.
Not calligraphied, I mean the artwork, you know, the
illuminated,
right? An illuminated Haggadah from the Rambam's period. I'm not going to tell you what it's worth, but if you have one, I'll buy it from you. Any price. But now, says the Aruch HaShulchan, everybody has their own printed Haggadah. So the Rambam is just, you know, the Rambam is just inhibited about having everyone, you know, requiring everyone to read their own Haggadah, because how can you supply everyone around the Seder table with their own Haggadah? But Akshav, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Shenisrabu Hadfusim V'nidpesa Haggadah V'loshen Laz. Oh, now he throws in another sociological element into the equation. And he says, for example, you can get an English Haggadah or in any language that you choose. So even if you're afraid, and we're going to have a long discussion about whether you can be Yotzi Haggadah if you don't understand the Lashon Kodesh. So then even, let's say, the women or the children or others who are ignorant and they don't understand the Haggadah, they can get themselves a Haggadah. There's an ample supply of Haggadahs on the market in any language you wish. So therefore let everyone recite the Haggadah. But this is not really, with all this, I'm a big fan of the Aruch HaShulchan, so don't get me wrong. But the Aruch HaShulchan is giving a sociological twist to something that's much more fundamental and conceptual. This is not about sociology. The Rambam, I think, would require, even in our time, that the Baal HaGadah read the Haggadah on behalf of everyone else, and everyone else will listen to the Baal HaGadah, and there'll be one reading of the Haggadah on behalf of everyone, even if everyone has their own Haggadah. Just like in the Rambam in Megillah is going to require that everyone listen to the Kriyas HaMegillah of the Koreh, even if everyone has their own Megillah. And therefore, the machlokas here is not about the availability of Haggadahs or translated Haggadahs and so forth, but rather it's about the question of how to define the mitzvah of Haggadah. Now, the mitzvah of Haggadah is v'gadat lebincha. Again, there are a whole bunch of different translations of the word v'gadata, but on a simple level, what you're doing is you're telling others. The Rambam writes that if you have no others to tell, then you tell yourself. And there's always going to be a mitzvah of Haggadah. The Rambam says, for example, it should be b'derech shailu tshuva. There should be questions and answers. If there's no one at the table, you'll have to ask the questions to yourself and give the answers. So it could be that the halach of shomea ka'ona doesn't apply. What do I mean? Whenever there's a definition in halach of what's called sfiras dvarim, meaning that the way you tell the story is critical, then there's no din of shomea ka'ona. I mean, again, if I want to give you an extreme example, a paradigm example, would be in Eidus. In Eidus, there's no such thing as shomea ka'ona. You have two Eidim or ten Eidim, and they all want to tell the same story. There's no din of shomea ka'ona. Why? Because each one requires his own sipur dvarim. I will tell you what what I'm going to say now borders on philosophical.
Because somebody else has to hear it?
No.
Somebody?
No. That's true too, but before I get to that, what I want to say is that there's a subjective element in Sipur, in our case, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What I mean to say is...
Conversation?
No, what I mean to say by a subjective element mean the way you tell the story is not the way I tell the story. The way I experience or re-experience Yetzias Mitzrayim is not the same as yours. So to make it into some sort of a standard, you know, kriya on behalf of everyone might be problematic. The Rambam, the one is pushing for Barov HaMajus Melech, and we can accept that. But we could say, on the other hand, to justify our minhag, again, not because of the availability of Haggadahs, but simply because your sipur is not my sipur. For example, in Sfiras HaOmer, there's no din of Shomea Ka'ona. You can't, right, again, the Shomea Ka'ona in the Bracha, but not as far as the sipur or the sphere is concerned. So whenever the Torah requires counting, I'll give you another example. Why in Birchas Kohanim would it make sense that one Kohen, you have 10 Kohen, halavai, right? You have 10 Kohen, Halvai should have 10 levim. That I don't know. For some, I never understood, but there's no levim to be had. That's why it's a good deal if you're a Kohen, and you get automatically 2 aliyahs. But why don't we have 1 Kohen? You know, we'll choose the Kohen. Let's say if the Chofetz Chaim were alive, we'll be Mechavi the Chofetz Chaim. Let him recite the Birchas Kohenim, and all the other Kohenim will just listen and be Yotzi Mitzomei Kohenim. But the answer is that this is a bracha. And a bracha is subjective. You know, it's your bracha. It's the feeling, so to speak, that you put into the bracha. And the same thing applies to Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. What feeling do you have when you read the Haggadah? So you'll tell me this is a standard text. That's tragic. The standard text, to some extent, undermines the whole mitzvah, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm not telling you to get rid of your Haggadahs. I mean, that would cost me a lot of money. I have some pretty expensive Haggadahs in my house. But what I mean to say is that to some extent, the Haggadah really undermines the whole nature of the mitzvah. You know, you sit there reading like a tukki, whatever it says over here. You know, and here you have to pick up the cup, and you have to cover the matzah, so you have no clue why you're doing it. But as I state, not good, I got to follow directions. That's not what the mitzvah seems.
And you mentioned Sfira?
Also? Well, wait a minute. Before we get to Sfira, I just want to see if what I'm saying, you know, am I making any sense?
Yes. Yes.
You have one Koreh according to the Rambam. He's reading the Megillah. He's reading the Haggadah, right? And everyone listens to his... Well, where's the subjective element? Where are the feelings that you put into Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? And I'm wondering if it couldn't be possibly that element of what I call a kiyum shebalev, my emotional feeling, undermines the Shomei Ka'onah, because the Shomei Ka'onah blocks my ability to enter in... Now, maybe the Rambam would say, well, if I hear it with my feelings, that's different than the way you hear it with your feelings. I don't know. That has to be studied very carefully. Yeah, Sam.
No, you mentioned Sfira also, and I'm just fantasizing now about Bittul Chametz.
Whether or not I could be a shliach for your Bittul Chametz.
Shomei Kohenim.
I mean Shomei Kohenim, meaning can you appoint me as your agent, so to speak?
You mentioned Sfira and you had some rationale, I just didn't hear it.
Right. I'm just saying that in Bittul, I don't know if I can apply Shomei Kohenim to Bittul. Why? Shomei Kohenim applies to a tefillah, to a bracha, to kiddush. It means that there's a standard nusach, and basically that's...
Sfira has a standard nusach.
Yes, Sfira. Now, so the Gemara said, I mean, it's not a Gemara, it's actually a Sifra. It says, Usfartem Lochem.
Oh, okay.
Shetei Sfira Lochem, Lekol Echad V'Echad.
So I. Yeah, so maybe. Rationale to that.
Right, that might not be, that might not fit into our discussion. Now, here you has a Chumrah, and he says the following: even if I accept the Rambam Shita, that's no Bates. With regard to the father and the son, so imagine you have 10 guests at your Seder table, and you're getting up according to the Rambam, and you're reciting that God out loud, and 9 people are listening to you. He has a chumrah here, which he thinks that even the Rambam would accept, that if amongst your audience there's a father-son team, then the father should be reading the Haggadah personally in front of his son. Why? Because the Torah says, "V'gadata lebincha," and he says the following: that even though there's the Orech HaSeder, you know, he's in charge of organizing the Seder, he's the pivot man, right? But nevertheless, the father, when he speaks to his son, he should speak to him personally, and not rely on the Kriyas Haggadah of the Orech HaSeder. And if I understand correctly, what he means is that there's an essential requirement in the mitzvah of Sipur of Igadat al-Binchav Shelo Tshuva. So the fact that the Koreas HaGadah is giving all the answers away, that really doesn't give me, as the father of my son, an exoneration. It doesn't exonerate me from my responsibility to give my answer to my son. He's reading from a standard text on behalf of everyone. But my son wants an answer to his question, if he's intelligent, or if he asks about Hashtad at least, and I have to give him personally, as a Chovas Gavra, my answer to his question. John, do me a favor, open the door, maybe we have another minute here. I want to give you... We don't have? Okay, so Rabosai, really what I want to discuss with you today is this Sif Yud over here on page Tav Chav Beis. A fascinating discussion here about whether or not the Haggadah is considered Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebalpeh. And the nafkamina is, since there's many parts of Torah Shebichtav in that Gada, which is called Parshas Arami Oviravi, is that the halach is you're not allowed to transmit Torah Shebichtav bal peh. So we have a real serious problem here if we assume that reading Parshas Bikurim, meaning Arami Ovid Ovi, is Torah Shebichtav, because in that context, you're not allowed to read it from something other than Kisvei HaKodesh. And our God, with all due respect, is not Kisvei HaKodesh.
Sometimes you cut off the pasuk, because I don't know if the header
makes it. Okay, so that's what we're going to see here in this. So I wish everyone a great Shabbos. And see if you get a chance to look over the Rabban, and maybe even to look over the Seder HaOruch. And we'll pick this up on Sunday, okay then?
So then use the word exempt instead of exonerate. Exonerate has to do with guilt.
Oh, okay, good. Exempt. So please remind me in case I forget.
Exempt is obligation.